This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour today is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts freshen out every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It is all with Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And of course, we're always in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. I can personally attest to the great buying experience at both Brewers Outlet and Sunbury Motors. Todd, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. And we have Jerry Dulac coming up today. Talk about the PGA Championship. He'll join us at 2:05 today. Then coming up on tomorrow's show, a guest we've never had on before because he doesn't do many of these. Sean Fitz from On3.com and Blue White Illustrated. When I texted him yesterday, he said, Steve, you hit me at just the right time. And he's going to do it. He's going to join us tomorrow at 2:30. Dick Girardi on the Preakness on Friday. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com on Beaver Stadium. Next week, next Tuesday, will be the Board of Trustees vote on that. And I guess we have to pencil in the suit somewhere, right?
He's not real sure he's going to be able to do it because he's off next week.
Yeah, but I mean this week.
He was, how shall we say, reluctant?
Reluctant?
Because qualifying isn't until Saturday.
Oh, for goodness sakes, just do the segment. What the heck? Because qualifying, what? Johnny Rutherford started 25th one year and won the dang thing. Come on.
I thought you were going to say Johnny Rutherford. I was like, I think he retired.
Yeah, Johnny Rutherford started 25th one year and won the dang thing. Come on. Let's go. Qualifying. Come on. I'm reluctant because of qualifying. Like, for goodness sakes. Oh, yeah, I knew we guilted him. Okay, pick the day this week. See, that's what you have to do. You have to on-air shame people sometimes, especially this one, right? You could shame him into anything. As soon as he feels guilty, right? All right, what I'm doing is silly. Okay? So, let's see. Sean's on at 2:30 tomorrow. Let's see. How about 1:30 tomorrow? What do you think?
That works for me.
Works for me.
I'm waiting for a ding.
Now we'll see. Dad, yeah. This is the first real oval, so we're all trying to figure out how things will go. Nobody cares. Just do the segment. We propose 1:30 tomorrow. Just text back and say yes. Come on. I'll even hold the phone up to, right? Hold the phone up to the microphone here to hear the ding. 1:30 tomorrow. Come on. There we go. Done. What are you doing over there? You can't play nice with these people.
I try. I guess I should learn.
I mean, other people like, you know, Jack Ham, you play nice. Dick Girardi, you play nice. All right, Sean Fitch, you play nice. Kevin, look, you get down and dirty and you just guilt him into doing it. Okay? Dave Ritchie, you play nice. Because he'll play nice back. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. So there's... I know you're shocked. I would rather talk about games. Jokic was awesome last night. Right? Mm-hmm. 43, well, I don't know, 16 assists, some number. Nuggets won. They won three in a row. They're up 3-2. The Knicks, who looked like they had no legs at all in game four at Gainbridge, go back to the Garden and blew out Indiana last night, and Brunson had 44 and was brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. And in the NHL, the Bruins played smart, controlled hockey without Brad Marchand last night. An area where the Bruins have really struggled in the playoffs is the ability just to get the puck out of the zone when they're having trouble. They turn it over too often in their own zone, just trying to clear the puck out to get some breathing room. And the Bruins have repeatedly, between Toronto and Florida, turned it over. Not last night. Last night, when they purposely were trying to clear the puck out of the zone, they got the puck out of the zone. And it made a big difference. And they beat Florida 2-1. They go back to Boston for that. And how about Edmonton? Normally, if Edmonton's going to win, they have to score between 5 and 7 goals. They won 3-2 last night. They won 3-2 last night. So that is that's how the playoffs played out last night. The Phillies have continued to play great, which is the Phillies are a fun team. I give them a lot of credit. They're a well put together team, great on field leadership. Rob Thompson's done a good job. He's done a good job. And love how the Phillies have been playing. And, you know, we'll get into, as the summer goes, we'll get more into what they're doing it, you know, what they're doing. But they've been terrific. They got the Mets tonight. I mean, they're 30-13, for goodness sakes. They're 30-13. And it's, I mean, they sit there, they've won their last two, they're 8 of their last 10. They're 30-13. They're 2 games up on the Braves. They're even in the loss column. The Phillies have 4 more wins. The Mets, meanwhile, are 3 games under 500. They're 10 games back. Their payroll's nowhere near what the, I mean, the Phillies' payroll isn't close to the Mets.
In theory, this is kind of a reloading season. I think Mr. Cohen thinks he's going to get Juan Soto in the offseason to kind of augment things, but I think the Yankees are nuts if they let him get the free agency.
No, I mean, Soto's been everything they could ask for. Yankees are playing great. I mean, the Yankees are 2 games back of the Phillies for the best record in for the best record in baseball. Phillies have the best record in baseball, playing just a shade under 700. The Dodgers are next, and then it's the Yankees, and then it's the Orioles. Orioles are playing great, too. Well, actually, Atlanta's slightly better than the Orioles right now. But, yeah.
I think it's pretty impressive what the Yankees have done just because Garrett Cole's been injured. I mean, you lose your number one starter, you think you'd struggle a little bit to figure things out, and they've played pretty well all year.
They're spending a $5.2 billion to do it. It's basically the gross domestic product in Guatemala. So yeah, they're doing great. I'm thrilled for them.
Oh, you're bitter because John Henry didn't spend any money.
He spent no money.
I know, none.
Right. Well, I'm actually hanging in there.
I was going to say they did spend some money, but it's on the DL.
Yeah, the money they spent's like watching. but no, it's. I expected the Yankees to be exponentially better than the Red Sox, and they are. Okay, so, would so much rather talk about the games. Yeah, but we're also at that time of the year where the games are, you know, playoff games to talk about, but there are no local games to talk about. Any high school games to talk about in your world?
Like today's the last day of today is the final day for district baseball to qualify. Softball okay. Sunday, so our playoffs don't start till next week.
Got it. Okay.
Lewisburg won a first round state tennis match yesterday, and they will play the defending state champs. I believe it's at 7 o'clock at the Hershey Racquet Club on Friday night, and district track opens tomorrow. They go Thursday and Saturday.
Okay. Great. All right. So we'll get into. This is something that was distributed to the ACC president and athletic directors, which, by the way, has also been distributed to other presidents and athletic directors in other conferences. Just turns out the ACC is meeting right now at Amelia Island. And because of the Florida State thing, you know, their lawsuit and so forth, so more people have migrated toward trying to cover them. Well, the two-page letter, which everybody in college sports has received, about the potential house settlement. We will get into that in a moment. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
This is not the dance the suit does when Will Power wins the Indy 500.
Let's leave that to the imagination.
It's not the dance he does. He is not a Will Power fan at all. Zero. And what we said, 1:30 tomorrow?
Yeah. That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, tomorrow's show's now all set. It's all set. I mean, it has the chance to be a ratings bonanza. All right, so let's talk money. Favorite topic, huh? So ESPN filed a public records request with Florida State because they are seeking emails and texts that took place between December 3rd and December 22nd to determine how and when school officials decided to move forward with legal action. You don't want to know what they got back? A boatload of angry emails begging Florida State Athletic Director Michael Alford and University President Richard McCullough, quote, to do something. Right? That's what they got. Now, remember, what happened between December 3rd and December 22nd last year?
They did not get into the playoff.
That's right, as an undefeated team. The first ever undefeated team in Power 5 to not make the college football playoff. Thus, they got a lot of angry emails. Do something!
Bills.
I'm guessing that's paraphrased.
Look, again, I pride myself on this being a family show. So, for months, Florida State, of course, has expressed, in fact, years now, dissatisfaction with the ACC over the impending revenue gap, which, by the way, in the next segment, we'll talk about how it's about to get worse. The previous August, Florida State's Board of Trustees met to discuss its long-term future. Justin Roth, who was a trustee, asked for an exit plan. And he wanted it by August of this year. Thus, they came up with a legal strategy to challenge the grant of rights. And what that does is transfers the ownership of media rights from the school to the conference through 2036. This email was written to Michael Alford, the athletic director. We must get out of the ACC or we are officially dead as a college football program. The time is now. We must do whatever it takes to get out. We beg of you to end this charade. Another email in capitals, capital letters, all caps. Leave the ACC now. Next, we get no respect in this conference. Another one, we get no money in this conference. Why are we still here? These are the emails they looked at. One Seminole booster, name redacted, wrote to Alford in response to a distribution email of passion and support and in attending the Orange Bowl against Georgia. This is what the guy wrote back. Really? Just move on like nothing just happened? Just spend thousands more dollars after getting slapped in the face by an incompetent, low football IQ committee? No thanks. We stuck with Florida State through the 2015 to 2020 debacle, only to have our players, coaches, boosters, administration, and fans humiliated in front of the entire country. You and the FSU president need to stand up more publicly and find a way to start moving us out of the ACC. Maybe ask fans to divert stadium renovation dollars to conference realignment costs as a small help. I know the cost of moving is monumental, but the long-term cost of not moving as soon as possible may be more and even more permanent. Oh, boy.
Sounds like they handled it with good reason and rationality.
Yeah. Now, the FOIA request, the only email that came back between Alford McCullough and the Board of Trustees Chair Peter Collins regarding the future was dated December 21st. In two emails, Alford sent Collins a list of questions. How confident should we be about this when there has been no known legal challenge to the grant of rights? The other one was, why should we be confident in the correct outcome? And then the other part was, have we truly exhausted every possible avenue for discussion of a tenable solution short of legal action? I mean, those are reasonable questions, don't you think? I think they're reasonable questions.
I think we've asked some of the same things when we've talked about this.
Right. So internal at Florida State, they're at least asking reasonable questions. But then on December 22nd, the board voted to sue the ACC in Leon County, Florida. Great move. We'll do it on our home turf. Love it. Seeking to avoid the grant of rights and withdrawal fee as reasonable restraints of trade in the state of Florida and not enforceable in their entirety against Florida State. The ACC then filed a lawsuit in North Carolina, first to defend the grant of rights and league members on December 21st. Okay. Clemson would be the next to file. Ultimately, Clemson did file its lawsuit 3 months later, this past March in South Carolina. So, the bottom line is, where does it stand? There are five total lawsuits ongoing right now. The ACC versus Clemson. The ACC versus Florida State. Clemson versus the ACC. Florida State versus the ACC. And a lawsuit that Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody filed against the ACC in April. seeking to make public the ESPN ACC TV contract as part of Florida State's case. Yeah, other than that, the lawyers are doing great.
Billable hours. Is it? Andrew Brand always says there will be lawyers.
And they are there.
I miss that the actual state of Florida sued the ACC as well.
Oh, sure. No, everybody join in.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is sponsored by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to begin your journey today. As we continue from the Sunbury Motor Studio, well, there'll be a lot of information in this half hour to the point where I'm not sure we can get it all in. We may have to then put some into the final half hour. But this is what we're dealing with in this half hour. Florida State and where the lawsuits stand with the ACC. The House versus the NCAA potential settlement, because the two-page letter was presented to all the athletics and presidents this week. Northwestern now has 25 individual lawsuits against the university over hazing. It's stunning. By the way, just so you know, Greg Olson is going to be teamed with Joe Davis this year. And Joe is an excellent broadcaster. Baseball, basketball, football. I run into him sometimes with some of the Fox and Fox Sports 1 stuff that he does with college football, college basketball. Great announcer. Really down-to-earth, no-ego guy. And Greg Olson will be with him. Tom Brady will be with Kevin Burkhardt. Okay. Thought we'd slip that in. Oh, and by the way, the last part is, it looks like the Steelers and Chiefs will be on Christmas Day, and Netflix is carrying both Christmas Day games. Do you get Netflix, Todd?
That's actually the one I don't have right now. And I've never really... I've always had more interest in the other ones for some reason. And to be honest, I used to have my brother's password, too, so...
Okay. I mean, because the suit was notorious in his neighborhood for stealing cable. Yeah. The only one I have is Amazon Prime. And they have enough packages that have shown up at the door between Halloween and Christmas Day that I think is the reason why I have it. Okay. That's the only one I have.
You did see that there, I think it's Netflix, Hulu, and Disney Plus are going to be on Xfinity Cable as a bundle on the cable.
Really?
Yeah. They're starting to bundle them on cable. We're going back to cable.
How about that? Well, that'll have to be a decision in one form or another that I may have to make maybe that day.
Steelers and the Chiefs is going to be hard to turn down.
That's what I mean. That's the issue.
They're not dumb.
No. They're picking the right teams to do it. But I don't like the heavy-handed way which the NFL is doing it. That's what's interesting about this. There's certain things that that groups are being heavy-handed about. And I've always done the comparison between everyday life and electric vehicles. Well, if you want an electric vehicle, great. Knock yourself out and get one. It looks like they're really nice, right? They're quiet, right? There's a lot of, they have a lot of pluses to them, but they're also extremely expensive. And who knows how far you can go on them and so forth. Those are all questions I can't answer. But they're not selling. They're not selling. Even though they're being forced on everybody advertising, boom, 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 EV, 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 left and right. It's the same thing with the streaming. Now, obviously less expensive than a new vehicle. But they've been trying to pound streaming down everybody's throats, and not everybody's jumping on board. In fact, they're losing nearly half their audience when they do the force America to do this thing. They're losing about half the audience. That's a strategy? You still have 8 years to go in your current TV contract. You don't have to start forcing like Netflix down everybody's throat to watch a game, do you? All right, so. Oh, and the other part was the, I think I didn't mention, the what I refer to as calumny. We'll get calumny out of the way, okay? How about if we do that? Let's get calumny out of the way. That is UCLA's payments to Cal. So what they have settled on, instead of 6 years at $10 million per year, it'll still be $10 million per year, but at $30 million, 3 years. So that's what they settled on. 3 years, $10 million a year, $30 million, as opposed to 6 years, $10 million per year at $60 million. So that ended up being the compromise. They do claim that they can revisit it, though, at the end of the 3 years. Like, really? Here's my deal. I'd figure out a way to get out. It's like, I heck with you people. I don't need you. Get out of here. UCLA lost last year. Last year, UCLA lost 36.6 million dollars on athletics. I mean, they need this Big Ten deal. And now we get the potential of having each athletic department pay 20 million for athlete salaries. You then compound that with the 10 they have to play Cal. You're talking about $30 million. Okay. So that's what the result is going to be, okay? So we refer to it as calumny. Look, Cal doesn't deserve a dime from UCLA. Sorry, I don't live in California. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know what how the system works. But in real life, Cal doesn't deserve a dime. They'll get a lot of dimes out of this, but they don't deserve a dime. It's stunning. It really is. But that's the check the box on that one. We got that one in. All right. Now let's get to the Florida State part of it. Because Florida State has been, I think we outlined what the emails looked like. If Florida State had made the college football playoff, I wonder if they would have filed the suit. I'm just guessing from the out, but the fact they didn't dramatically set all this in motion. So now there are five lawsuits, as we outlined. And they are meeting at Amelia Island, which I believe you have a summer home at, right? And Florida State and Clemson are sitting at the table as if everything's all hunky-dory. At last year's meeting, there was fireworks. Seven schools had conducted discussions about the future of the conference. Those that weren't involved felt blindsided. Jim Phillips, who's the ACC commissioner, was blindsided. One AD described the tenor as an airing of grievances.
Did they have the Festivus tree?
And thus, Festivus for the rest of us. Once they cleared the air, they felt they had come to an agreement on success initiatives to reward on-field and on-court success. Now, Alford is the one that pushed that, Michael Alford of Florida State. Phillips presented a unified front when the meetings wrapped up, and he said we're all in this together. Well, a year later, now Clemson and Florida State are in court with the ACC. Let's not sit here and pretend that we know how the legal battles are going to play out. But the bottom line is they have to still work together. Now, when it comes to the House versus the NCAA, I think we can make a pretty good guess on how it would play out if it did get to court, because the NCAA has a track record in court that's not strong. That's the reason. I mean, you don't have to be a lawyer to sit there and look at how they have fared in court battles. Not well. What's also added to this, there's a couple things that have been added to it. Stanford, Cal, and SMU are in. SMU is not taking a dime of the media money. That was their caveat for getting in. Stanford and Cal are getting $11 million apiece, exponentially lower by about two-thirds compared to what everybody else is getting. But at the same time, by putting those three in, they have also weakened the conference in football and in basketball. They've weakened the conference. As I said the other day on the show, Penn State's had a couple of calls in basketball from ACC schools with the idea of, hey, we need to strengthen our non-conference schedule because our conference schedule isn't good enough to get us home. What does that tell you? Now, Penn State's already playing Virginia Tech. That game's going to be in Baltimore. But that's where it stands. And as for the lawsuits, the judge in Clemson's case in South Carolina said the ACC must provide an unredacted copy of the ESPN contract to Clemson. Right? They say it would remain confidential and can only be used as part of the case. In North Carolina, the ACC's case against Clemson is scheduled for July 2nd. Clemson originally filed to dismiss the case. Case against Florida State, the judge, Louis Bledsoe, denied the motion to dismiss. Florida State has said it will appeal the decision to the state Supreme Court. No court date's been set. In South Carolina, the ACC filed a motion to dismiss its case on May 7th. In Florida, the judge there, Cooper, referred the ACC and Florida State to mediation. The two sides have been unable to agree on the mediator, so he granted an extension until May 31st to choose one. So, in other words, you have a protracted legal battle that is playing itself out in real time. And there is no incentive at this hour to negotiate a settlement or resolution. Other than that, it's going really well. And hanging over all of this is the multi-billion dollar NCAA antitrust settlement for college sports, which is hanging over everybody. What the NCAA is now looking for from Congress. So let's get to that part first. This is what they're essentially looking for from Congress. And it probably would help the college game if the NCAA, if Congress were to do this. And that would open the door for the NCAA to get an antitrust exemption. What would the antitrust exemption allow them to do? It would allow them to, in conjunction with the athletes and whatever entity they pick to negotiate, set the parameters for what we see with the transfer portal, name, image, and likeness, payments, so forth. That'd be one. You know, give them the power to do that if they received it. It's not that the government, hey, let's set NIL law. No, give them an antitrust exemption. You don't just hand them out. But I think if you see the state of where college sports is right now, it's something that needs to be looked at, the antitrust exemption. The other part that the antitrust exemption would give the power of the NCAA to do, besides negotiating money and transfer portal, it would mean that they could then designate athletes as students and not employees. That's what it would do. I hope we've explained that well. So you see where I hope I explained that well enough, Todd.
I got it.
as to what it would mean. No, I just want to make sure. Okay? So the tentative terms of the settlement may include the NCAA paying more than $2.7 billion in past damages. Okay. The past damages are for athletes between 17 and 21. If they went to court, Todd, in January of 25, and who knows how long the case would take, the NCAA could be facing $20 billion in damages. $2.776 billion is, quote, a drop in the bucket compared to $20 billion. And they would be allowed to spread the payments out over a 10-year period. Okay. And they say that by Thursday, the 23rd of May, so that would be a week from tomorrow, conferences are planning to vote on a proposed deal. All right, so that's how it's moved along to that point. Now, the question is going to be, once you get that part settled, and the NCAA would pay the past damages over a 10-year period, and Charlie Baker is still talking to senators about potential future legislation. Again, getting an antitrust exemption would be huge for college sports if the NCAA can do that, if Baker can do that. This is where his political connections come in. He can talk to these people. They know exactly who he is. All right? Right now, there are those that believe that the power conferences have enough votes to take them on the path to settlement. Some individual schools have some skepticism. And there are also others that are proposing a new Super League. Right now, for the near future, for all of you, like, hey, Super League. Well, guess what? Most people that are inside on this will tell you at the hour there is. Let's give you the odds at this hour as to whether there'd be a Super League. Maybe way down the future, but in the near future, zero. Okay? All right. That's just so, I mean, people talk about the Super League thing all the time. As of right now, based on people on the inside, at this hour, there's zero chance of happening in the near future. All right. The one thing they don't want to do is get into court against the two primary attorneys, Steve Berman, co-lead counsel representing athletes in the House case, and Jeffrey Kessler. They don't want to do that. because now the numbers grow exponentially. Okay. So the Big Ten, the Big Ten in general is on board with settling. All right. The Big 12 is expected to jump in and settle. The SEC does have some detractors, but they're trending toward the majority of the SEC saying we'll settle. Now, guess where the dissension is? The ACC. But they do say it's unlikely in the end the ACC will end up voting against it. So then there's the future payments. As of right now, the current proposal creates a spending cap for each power conference school. What's the formula? Well, the formula is quite simple. It is 22% of the average media rights, ticket sales, and sponsorship revenue of each power conference school. The cap number is expected to be $20 million. Schools would not be required to spend that much money on their athletes, but they would have the option to share up to that $20 million figure with them. And that's the key to it in the end. Now, everybody has to then come up with how do you divide it up? And that's where Title IX comes in. And in the final half hour, we'll talk more about that because there are so many unknowns here, except a bill will be due to each Power Five conference team that they didn't expect 3 to 4 months ago. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Oh, by the way, the Netflix deal with the NFL for Christmas is a 3-year deal. It's not a one-off. It's a 3-year deal for this year, 25 and 26.
Never enough money.
God, I feel like I just walked into the corner office and talked to the suit.
Never have enough money.
Whew. Man. I'll say this. There is no moss growing at the NFL office on Park Avenue.